With this being Labor Day, I guess summer is officially over. That's supposedly the way it works. And hopefully, how many people were able to take a vacation this summer of some sort? Okay, good. How many people took a vacation of 2 weeks or longer? A lot fewer hands, but still pretty good. Very, very good, okay. If you did, that's great, but that also means that you probably experienced when you got home the getting back to work syndrome, okay? You ever have that? You know, that's sort of the price we pay when we take time off. It's always interesting when we come back to work, especially after a long vacation, especially if it's been a very, very good vacation. I usually try to go internationally for a couple weeks every year, but when I come back, it's always interesting when you get back. But the definition of a good vacation is very, very subjective. For some people, a good vacation means going somewhere exotic where you're eating fancy food and drinking those drinks with little umbrellas in them and seeing beautiful scenery and all that kind of stuff. But other people, for them, a good vacation is to go someplace totally quiet, go to the same place every year, either to the shore, the mountains, whatever it is, and just sort of veg out with a book, lay by the pool, that kind of a thing. For me, I'd rather go hiking every day of my vacation, wherever I happen to go, but other people look at their vacation as a good excuse to not do any exercise at all. So it's kind of like, you know, it just depends on what our own definition of what it means to play, because that's what we're talking about in terms of vacation. Now, the word vacation itself doesn't literally mean to play, but it does come from a Latin word that means to get away from. Vacatio means to get away from. And what our vacation is usually getting us away from is what we call work, which our Western society has taught for years is the exact opposite of play. So according to conventional wisdom, going on vacation is when we have fun, and working, which we do the other 46, 48, 50 weeks of the year, is when we build up the need to have fun. That's kind of the relationship that the world says we have. It's a working definition that we've fallen into. Anyway, this distinction between work and play is what I want to talk about this morning. Because even though a lot of people don't realize it, both of them, both work and play, are extremely spiritual practices if we do them right. Not in the way we do them, just the way we actually do them, as much as it is in what they encourage us to do and the opportunities that they present to us to express two of the most powerful spiritual energies that we have, which is our creativity and our passion. Those are two things that we should be expressing both in work and play. That's where we're going with this. Now, if you add to that the opportunity in both work and play to use our intelligence, to learn about our own strengths and weaknesses, to interact with other people who are expressing their creativity and passion, and finally, if you look at the chance we have to express, to create value and to create prosperity both for ourselves and for the world at large, and we soon begin to see how the way we spend our time, whether it is recreationally or vocationally, is one of the most significant ways in which we practice expressing our spiritual nature through our physical body here in this thing we call the material world. Now, I know that some of you here are retired, and I know that some of you here are between jobs. So just to clear up a couple of questions that you may have, I do want to point out that you don't have to have a job to work any more than you have to be a child to play. Because, and anyone who stays home caring for children, whether a spouse or partner, goes to the office will tell you that. Not only that, it's very interesting the way people look at work. There are a lot of people in the world who work very hard at not working. You know, people like that at the office. I also have a friend who couldn't believe how difficult and complicated his life got once he retired. He didn't have that rigidity when he retired. Before. Some people even manage to work very hard creating job after job that they hate but think they have to have, and they unconsciously end up creating situations over and over again where they feel either obligated to quit or they get laid off or they get fired. I know people like that too. So for all of us who, even for those of you who may not have a paying position at the moment, we are also, all of us are being affected by this dynamic that exists between work and play. Because without the proper consciousness, by which I mean without a clear understanding of how we are thinking and being while we are doing what we are doing during the course of a normal day, we can very easily end up burning through 10, 20, or 30 years of our life not enjoying our life in a way that we need to be enjoying it, whether we happen to be at work or play. And that's a very sad way to live, but I believe that the vast majority of people who leave this world for wherever it is that we go next on any given day live most of their life that way. That's why one of the primary purposes of this teaching is to help us to become aware of the power that we have as co-creators with God, with the one creative power, to consciously and deliberately create a complete life experience, not just work and play and relationship, all those parts separately, but a whole, perfect, and complete life experience that's powerful, joyful, loving, and fulfilling, that includes both the work we choose to do and how we choose to do it. Now, at the spiritual level, which is the only level that really matters, that means that we are completely free to make whatever choices we want in our life. We talk about that all the time. We don't have to pick work or to do play or things like that to try to please God, like some of our conventional traditional teachings told us when we were growing up, because God is probably pretty happy no matter what we decide to do. That's a pretty safe bet. Whether or not we wake up every morning excited about the day ahead doesn't really matter to the power that created us, because it knows that we are perfectly capable of enjoying our life every day in every way, even at work. And it knows that because it created us that way. In other words, this power has already given every single one of us everything we need to create a life that deserves our complete enjoyment. The only question is, how are we going to do that? Are we willing to make use of the power in the life that we've been given? You see, there are a lot of people today who believe that if they could only find the perfect job, then everything would be all right. There are people I've talked to who said, look, I've talked to them in counseling. They don't like their work. I say, what do you want? They go, okay, if I could find a job that would pay me a lot of money working with talented, creative people who respect my abilities, in a beautiful facility, only 5 minutes or so from my house, you know, with 8 weeks paid vacation every year and 2 3-day weekends a month, you know, that'd be great. I'd be happy. Wouldn't you like a job like that? Okay. But if they get that, they think never again will they have to listen to the alarm clock and wish it was Saturday. Never again would they go to bed at night feeling that they had wasted another day at work, which some people do. And that's the kind of work they want. The problem is, I asked them why they don't have that job, and they said, well, no one has called me up and offered it to me. You know, that kind of work. Or else, I can't seem to find the time to go looking for it. I've got so many other things to do. Or else they're afraid to leave the job that they're in because they've got so much time invested into it. They're getting close to retirement. They've got a company car. They don't want to give up their insurance and all these other reasons. Now, that can be a very painful dilemma, because there's very few feelings in the world worse than forcing ourselves day after day to spend time doing things that do not feed our soul. However, and this is what's interesting to me, when they come in and they want to get rid of this feeling of discontent that they have towards their work, I tell them that feeling unfulfilled in your work is not necessarily a bad thing, as long as we don't just sit there and suffer. Because if you are discontent with the work you're doing, that means that you're awake. And that's important, because there are a lot of people who go 30 years till they get the watch, and then they're off to Patterson's, as Kennedy used to say, off to the local funeral home. You see, part of this dissatisfaction, you're laughing because you know people like that, okay? You see, one part of this dissatisfaction that a lot of people, including some of us, feel about work is not because of us, and it's not because of the job. It's because of an upwards evolutionary shift in the consciousness of society. Metaphysically speaking, and metaphysical means above the physical, above the stuff that we see, this desire for change that many of us are feeling is part of the natural spiritual evolution of the race. And this is what I mean. If we look back several hundred years, maybe the 1500s, the 1600s, whatever it is, most people then were perfectly willing to do whatever work they happened to be born into. They never questioned their job. Very few people went to a support group in the local village and said, you know, I don't feel fulfilled being a peasant farmer, you know, or a blacksmith or making shoes or that kind of a thing. You did what you did until you died. You never questioned it. And even 100 years ago, people took almost any job they could get for the sole purpose of making a living. It didn't matter how fulfilling it was, as long as it put food on the table and paid the bills. But today, there has been a shift. Our expectations have grown, and our expectations are growing more every single day. More and more of us, maybe because we're more educated, maybe because we live longer and we have more leisure time, maybe because we're more aware of what's possible in the world, more and more of us are now looking for a place where we can pour our heart and our soul into our work as well as into our playtime. We don't just want to work and have fun. We want to play and have fun all the time. We want to spend all the days of our life in a place, in an environment, or in a state of mind, if you want to say that, where we can express our own unique talents and capabilities, where we have the feeling that what we do matters in the world. Now, that's important when I say in the world. It doesn't have to matter to the world. It's great if it does, but it has to matter to us. It has to matter to us because we want to feel joy and meaning in our work. Whether or not we realize it, we are all part right now of a social and a spiritual evolution. Because we have achieved intellectual freedom, we've achieved religious freedom, we've achieved all sorts of different freedoms, but the freedom that we have not taken on for ourselves is creative freedom. And creative freedom is not something that someone has to give us, it's something that we have to claim. The problem is, we have been taught to see fun and creativity as something completely separate from making a living. And that's where the value of play comes in. Now, you may or may not remember, those of you who have children get to see it every single day, but those of us who don't get to see it as often. But when we were children, what did we do? We made up games. How many people have a made-up game from when you were a child? A lot of you did, I know. We built things and then we knocked them down. We didn't worry about it. We changed the rules whenever we wanted to make the game interesting. We were spontaneous, we were expressive, we were creative, and we were limited only by one thing. And what was it that limited how we play as a child? Our imagination. That's the only thing that limited us. So the question is, why can't the work that we do today be expressed the same way? Now, there's a marvelous book. If you are going through a period of change in your life, I highly recommend this book. It's called Callings. Callings, and I think that the subtitle is Finding and Following an Authentic Life. The author's name is Greg Lavoie, and he says that play is the springboard of discovery, the exploratory urge made manifest. I love the language he uses. It's a marvelous book if you're looking at finding work that you love to do. But what he means when he says that, he means that productive, useful, and meaningful work always evolves out of play. It evolves out of the free and playful use of our imagination, which is part of our spiritual essence. So if we want to find more meaningful work in our life, the answer is not to just look around for a better job. The answer is to play more. And to be open, more open to creative expression and to figure out what it is about our playing that we love to do that feeds our soul so that we can begin to create a daily experience, maybe even a work experience, that reflects that same joy of playing in every single part of our life. That's the only way that we can turn work into play. Now, the reason I mention this, the reason I mention that we have to closely examine how we play to find out how we should work is very simple. Because too many people in the world, instead of turning work into play, have become very, very good at turning their vacation and their playtime into work. You know, instead, they spend so much money doing what they think they're supposed to be doing to relax that they have to work twice as hard when they get home to pay for it. Okay, anybody here ever feel like you need a vacation after a vacation? All right, so that's what it is. Now, the way I see it, and I love Patrick's song, if you were listening to the lyrics, there are a lot of people who are not using their free time to do what they love or to get back in touch with their playful side. They're only using their vacation to fill in the spaces in their heart that are not being filled when they work. For example, if they work in an office in the city, they take their vacation time and they go out in the country. If they work with people all the time during work, then when they go on vacation, they take that opportunity to get away from people and to be by themselves in the quiet. If their job is fairly isolated without people, then they use their vacation time to go on a cruise with 2,000 of their closest friends. to make up for it, all right? In other words, instead of using this precious time that they have to evaluate their life as a whole, they spend 2, 3, or 4 weeks a year trying to make up for the other 48 weeks that they aren't happy. That's what they end up doing. Like Patrick was singing in his song, if you're driving to a job you don't like, thinking about someplace you'd rather be, there's a problem there. There's a disconnect, all right? They're trying to balance an inherently unstable position, and it doesn't work, at least not for long. The only thing that is allowing them to stay in a job that they don't love without going crazy is remembering their last vacation and thinking forward to the next one. And the problem is, as long as they are in that cycle, nothing changes, because a changed life requires a changed consciousness. Now, this is actually something that we all need to be thinking about on a daily basis, even if the work we're doing right now is something we enjoy. If we want to start living our life proactively instead of reactively, especially as the years go by, we have to realize that we are in the midst of a major change in the world. We are in a time, all the stuff that's going on now that we are reading about in the news is a time of major transition. Not just in the next 100 years, but in the next 10 years, or maybe even the next 5. One of the magazines that I love to read, it comes out every other month, is Futurist Magazine. And these are all the scientists and the sociologists and all the different people who look at present trends and they try to predict where we're going in the world. And they tell us that over the next 20 years, and this is in an issue I read about 4 months ago, over the next 20 years, over half of the jobs that exist now probably won't exist anymore. They will be replaced by other jobs, and a lot of them will be even replaced by technology. Now, under the old idea, the old way of thinking of working to make a living that many of us grew up with in the 50s and the 60s, the consequences of changes like these, of jobs that we have trained for and done for many years going away, can be extremely unsettling. And for a lot of people, they will be. But the opportunities, and this is where the spiritual growth comes in, the opportunities of those people who take responsibility for their own lives, for creating work that looks like play, are going to be tremendous, all right? Because, and what we have to be willing to do is to create new kinds of work by creating new attitudes towards work and new avenues for personal expression and creativity. Now, the government's not going to be able to do this. Private industry probably isn't going to be able to do it either without some changes in attitude. If this is going to happen for us and for the people in our life that we love, it's going to have to be done by people like you and me and the people we know, the people, the individuals who are spiritually aware, creative, and intelligent, and passionate beings who understand the connection between the world and everyone everywhere and this creative power that we call God. The answer of what we want to do has to come from that level. And it's going to spring out of the individual talents and the dreams and the inspiration and the imagination that we are learning in teachings like this. So the solution for the world, and it has to be a collective solution, it can't just be an individual solution anymore, the solution is not going to be just to create new and different jobs. What we're actually talking about here is redefining what a human being is. Redefining ourselves not as human beings doing work, but as spiritual beings expressing the best of ourselves. Consciously or unconsciously, we have grown accustomed to defining each other and defining other people in terms of our productivity, our income, and our perceived usefulness to society. So the question now becomes, how can we look at this spiritually? How can we look at it in a different way? How can we learn to define ourselves and other people in terms of how we interact every day with the world and with everyone who lives in it? What would it matter? What if it didn't matter? How about if we looked at it this way? What if it didn't matter what work we did or how we spent our day as much as it mattered how we treated one another or how we treated the planet? That's an entirely different way of looking at work. How would this change the way that we chose to do our life? If we didn't pick a job based on money, but we picked it on the joy we feel, if we didn't pick it just on retirement benefits and insurance, but we picked a job based on what difference it made to us and how we participated in the world, how would this change? How would this change? Now, individually, if we ask ourselves, we have to look closely at the work that we do. And if we look at the job that we are doing and we ask, is that job giving me everything it needs to give me for me to be the person I want to be? If we ask that question, the real answer, believe it or not, is yes. That job is giving us everything we need because the things we need to express do not come from the job. It's simply an occupation. How much passion and creativity that we choose to give to our chosen occupation is never limited by the job any more than how much energy and enthusiasm we give when we play is limited by the rules of the game. Only we determine what we give to any part of our life, and that determines how much we're going to receive. So our work does not empower us. We are the ones who bring the power to our work. Now, the good news is we don't have to know, if we're looking for something that feeds us, we don't have to know exactly what we're looking for before we make a change from the old to the new. There was an article in Oprah magazine. It was a number of years ago, but I saved it. It was a fabulous article, and what caught my eye was the title. The title of the article was Passion. That always catches my interest. That's pretty good, okay? And in this article, they interviewed 10 women, ages from in their 30s to in their 60s, who left a job or a life that was slowly draining them. Some of them gave up very lucrative careers, and all of them started out on a brand new path. Now, what I found most interesting about this was, in every case, these women were not looking for some answer from out there. They weren't searching for some childhood dream that they had forgotten. They simply made the decision to change because where they were wasn't working for them. That realization has to come first. And what they did was they began moving forward one step at a time. They didn't have a specific goal, not in the beginning. They didn't have some shining star out there that they were moving towards. They actually followed their intuition on every step. And they used their head. They were smart. And they listened to their heart because that had been awakened and the passion was now there. They tried this and they tried that until, in every case, all 10 of them, they said they came upon something, and in some cases they just stumbled upon it, something that flared up in them into passion, just like the title of the article. And when they found it, it wasn't necessarily what they were looking for, but when they found it, they recognized it by what it felt. And in the process of pursuing it, they discovered talents that they never knew they had. They discovered convictions that gave great meaning to small things in their life. And all the while they went into this new work, even though it may have taken a lot of work to get themselves into it and many hours while they were doing it, they found themselves feeling open and playful and ready to learn something new, and they were all excited for the first time in years. All 10 of them, absolutely excited about getting up in the morning. So as a result, they moved into a life that suited them perfectly, and two things were true about the life that every one of them created for themselves. Number one, it was totally different from anything they ever imagined. Think about a job totally different from the one that you've imagined. And two, the work they ended up doing was extremely similar to the way they loved to play. The way they loved to play. So there was now this harmony in their life that they could feel that was apparent to them and anyone who saw them doing what they loved to do and living the life that they chose to live. Now, finding this kind of perfect balance in our life, this blend between work and play, is as easy or as hard as we allow it to be. But it takes some things. It takes courage. It takes faith. It takes awareness, which is my favorite spiritual word, and it requires us to let go of ideas and beliefs that we may have held for a very, very long time. We may have held these ideas for so long that we don't even know that we have them. They're simply a part of our awareness, of our old awareness, that we never let go of. And so this new movement we make to this new place may require us to turn our back on a very loud and insistent world, including our family and friends, who try to tell us that we're crazy, that it's just a phase, it's a midlife crisis, that we're ungrateful, and that we're throwing it all away. We may hear these words, but we have to know our truth in here. It may require us to find what we want, to step out on an unknown path with no food, no water, and no compass. just to move forward. But if we are somehow able to do all of these things, if we can open ourselves up to the level that we do them and feel totally at peace with our decision in our own heart, the rewards can be very great, because we just may find ourselves one day living an outer life that perfectly matches our inner life. And the peace that this brings to us will truly be, as they say in the old saying, the peace that passes all understanding. That's what we all want to find. This is the truth in your life, and this is the truth in mine. And so it is. And so it is. Thank you. All right. Let's take a few moments. Take a breath or two. Feel comfortable in your chair. Move your shoulders a little. Take the ideas that resonated. I give them to you freely. Set aside the others for later. And let's know this. The work that we do in our life, the creative expression that we live with as we allow ourselves to interact with the world, create value, to be with others, to use our passion and our talents, this is as much a part of our spiritual being as anything else in our life. It is as important as our relationships, as our health, as our prosperity, as our family and friends. Because we are spiritual beings, we are part of the one creative power that expresses itself in the world freely and joyfully, and that is the way that we are meant to live. Not just during our time off, before 9 or after 5, but every moment of every day. So in order for us to know this, we need to be awake and aware. So we open ourselves to awareness of what we are doing every day, of the work we do, the people we are working with, our clients, our bosses, our coworkers, our subordinates, all of these people that are a part of this joyful creative expression that we have chosen. And as we look at it honestly, we allow ourselves to recognize the truth. Is this where we need to be now and moving forward? Have we learned what we need to learn from this experience? And are we holding ourselves in this place out of fear or boredom or inertia? Are we holding ourselves in an old place, trying to stay safe when that safety is limiting our soul's growth? And if we begin to see that, we have choices. We can change the way we see the work that we do. We can change the job that we are doing. We can evolve within the job so that it evolves around us. Or we can change. And if we change, we will begin to create something that is like the consciousness that we feel, the passion that we want to feel in doing the work that we do. So I invite you now to take a few moments in the silence of your own mind, all of us together. And if you truly love the work that you do, then honor it and bless it. I congratulate you. If the work that you are doing has given you much, but now it needs to change, open yourself to that change. And if you are ready to move forward, simply allow yourself to begin to feel the seeds of courage that will allow you to move to the new space where you choose to move. Take these few moments for yourself. With gratitude for this awareness and a clear understanding of its sacred significance in our life, we accept the wisdom of this truth as our own. We allow ourselves to look honestly at our life, at the work we do, at the people in our life, at the way we are living, and to see in it those things that feed our soul and those things that do not. We make a conscious decision to make the choices we need to make to create the life that we desire to live. This is the gift we have been given, the gift to choose, the gift to move forward, and the gift to create whatever we desire. Knowing this, with a deep appreciation for all that we have been given and all that we have yet to give, we accept and release this knowing into consciousness, allowing it to become our truth from this moment on. And so it is.